This is the seminar of married people. And so, we need to be as practical as possible. Praise the Lord. And those who are not married over here, to give you the standard that God has set for marriage. Praise the Lord. So, let us pray, and then I will match some of the areas that we might be able to handle. This is how far we can go today. Lord, we just want to thank you because we know that it is your will that people walk the life of your word, your plan and purpose these days. Lord, we know that the purpose of this is that you might show more light to us concerning what your plan is for the home. Because the home is central in the things you're doing these days. Therefore, we pray, my grant us openness as you give an entrance into your presence. Lord, the issues that will come up that your spirit might bring light. That at the end of this seminar, Lord God, we will leave here better armed and prepared to walk the light of your word, that we might fulfill your plans and purpose for our life as individual manhood and as homes, O Lord God, in your body. Help us, O Lord God, we pray. In the name of the Lord, the Father, exalted. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before I'll give this mic to Borussia to start off, but let me just give us an idea of some of the areas that we might touch as far as God grants us liberty at the time. Now, if you look at marriage in the light of Ephesians 5, we are very familiar with that. The Bible talks about the place of the man and the woman in the home and the various responsibilities. And the ones that stand out very clearly that controls the rest of other things is that the Bible says the man is the head of the home. And it said, husband, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And it said, wives, obey your husband. Or submit yourself to your own husband. Praise the Lord. So it's important, it's upon these and the rest of the things that take place, these are the responsibilities of a wife and a husband, are embedded. So as we go in discussion, let our mind be focused on the thing the Lord said. Now God made a prophecy before man was created. Before this show marriage, he proffered a prophecy of what the man and the woman will accomplish. And after he established marriage, after he made Eve and brought her to Adam, he gave him the injunction based on that prophecy that he made. If you look at this Genesis chapter 1, 2, and he said they should go, replenish the earth, they should subdue the earth, they should have dominion and all that. These are the standards of the things that God expects the home to accomplish, because the home is the smaller unit of the body of Christ. So the home, what happens in the home, should be what happens in the church. Praise the Lord. So in the light of this, and we know that a lot of things that happen in homes that are not in line with the word of God, there are a lot of disappointments in the home, the way we live. We have made a sort of division or separation between our life at home and our life outside in the church. But it's a life that continues, whether you are home or church, the same thing. So God expects us to harness and come back to His standard. Praise the Lord. So, by first, we'll look into split aspect. Because what we're saying or talking about is marriage after God's order. And we're going to look at aspect of love and submission. What does God say? What does Jesus say? That place has been interpreted by various people. The husband interpreted their own way to suit them. Some wives interpret their own way to suit them. What does the Bible really say? What does it mean? When you talk about submit yourself to your own husband or love your wife, what does God expect you to do? What exactly is this going to say to us? Praise the Lord. Then we look at the home. We'll see how this can go. Look at home. Because we look at all the things that are said from that scripture, we're supposed to realize that home should be a place of refuge and a place of laughter, because marriage is to be enjoyed and not endured. Praise the Lord. You see, some of us think we're maybe in this room we're too spiritual that they're hiding in laughter at home. Praise the Lord, says spiritual things. So, and because God has given one to mind this woman, and mind this woman, but there are certain things that go with it. And as God is humorous with us, man, you know, can Jesus, can are there place for that in the home? Can we derive pleasure at home? Can home really be a place of refuge? You go outside, something happens, you're looking forward to go home so that you know that when you get home, you some of those problems are taken away from you. Praise the Lord. Look into that. The Lord gives us, you know, the time and grace. And it's not that we look at certain treatments that certain wives derive from their husbands. We'll see whether, you know, submission amounts to oppression and all manner of, you know, ill treatment. You know, we'll look into that. And we expect that people will be open to ask questions, to bring contributions and always. Praise the Lord. The aim is that we might receive deliverance and receive help, that we might go home and become better husband than the wife and God has ordained it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Then another aspect is we'll look at, you know, our brother speak today, just a while ago, talking about crisis, you know, in our life, not in the home. How do we deal with crisis? Different crises that come up in marriage, in the home. How do we deal with them? Is there provision how God expects to deal with crisis? You know, at times we deal with it kind of out of our own senses, but are there some better ways the Lord has made provision for us to be able to deal with them effectively and effectually? Praise the Lord. And I'm not asking the important for us to see that the basic reason why God had instituted marriage. You know, we look at home in ministry. That the basic reason when two people are brought together for God's purpose. We'll see that in many cases, in some people will be moving in ministry, but it's like the sisters. Once they get married, is that the place, that department is shut down. Praise the Lord. Is that the will of God, is the purpose of God? That the gifts God has given you, as soon as you get married, that's the end of it. Praise the Lord. And let's see, is there a place for that? In the home, to rise up in ministry, husband and wife, you know, moving ministry to fulfill the purpose and plans of God. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look at all that as much as God will understand, but we'll move swiftly. We have to speak, we have to make a contribution, we have to ask questions, please be direct and bring, you know, concrete points and reason. Don't give us as much as possible. Don't give hypothetical, you know, questions and contributions. Know what I mean? You know, say, what if somebody tell us that such and so happened, such and so going to happen? Or in this case, don't tell us, well, if somebody, you know, is no, wants something practical so we can deal with it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I hope we go to Galatians for now, and then we'll start from there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Mark chapter 12.
Mark chapter 12. From verse 23. I'm reading from the modern version. Mark 12, 23 says, what we want to know is this. In the resurrection, whose wife received you, for she had been the wife of each of them? Jesus replied, your trouble is that you don't know the scriptures and don't know the power of God. That's your problem. One, you don't know scriptures and you don't know the power of God. For when these seven brothers and the woman rise from the dead, they won't be married. They will be like angels. Amen. They will be like what? Angels. Angels, that the heavenly host, the spirit beings, don't marry. But now, as to whether there will be a resurrection, well, let me stop there. Dear brothers and sisters, we don't need to belabor ourselves with some of the common knowledge about knowledge, which over the years we have theoretically accepted. But today I'd like to talk about some of the issues, what I consider little forces that do what? That's why the great divine. The small forces, not the big things that create problems in marriage, but the small things we overlook, especially for many of our brethren who think that sonship message and or end time message or kingdom message is a set of theoretical doctrines you accept, and that is it. But it's about life. The message of this hour is about what? Life. Whether as a single person or as a married person. We are of three ages. The age of the law, which has passed. But for many, many people, the age of law is still here with us. Many people are tied to the tenets of the Ten Commandments, which the Jews themselves could not keep. Such people don't understand the fact that it's not by might, it's not by power, but by what? My spirit. Theoretically, they accept the place of Holy Spirit. But in practical reality, they deny the Spirit that opportunity because they play the Spirit. Now, with the passing of the age of the law, the age of grace set in. Now, the Holy Spirit entered into us and indwelt us. Christ now came in to live in our lives in the person of the Holy Spirit. And we are now expected to be guided by the Spirit that is within us. And you see that this age is the one that is passing. As a matter of fact, we are in transition. But there is an age in view, and that is the age of the kingdom. The title of or the theme for this seminar, which is part sub-theme of the entire conference, is marriage in the light of the day and his kingdom. Marriage what? In the light of his day and his kingdom. What it means is that it's not just marriage, general marriage. In other words, this is marriage in its highest estate. This is what? Marriage what? In its highest estate. As a matter of fact, it's like marriage without wrinkles. Marriage without what? Wrinkles. Now, we like, you know, parroting some high-sounding statements which we don't even understand ourselves, and which is expected to provide us with a direction, providing a focal point, something to aim at. Thank God some of the youths I taught the basics of love and romance are here today, because they are hoping to marry. So here you need the foundations of the current marriage they are going to enter into. It's not the type your father and mother entered into. It's something higher. It's something what? Higher. When we got married, we were not considered the kingdom in view. It was marriage in the general sense of the understanding of the church. Many of us married in the African church, married in typical denominational churches. Even some of us married as unbelievers. I cannot talk about Christian courtship engagement. You know what I mean? But there are people, God granted the grace to be youths, and then interacted with sisters as they're having a seminar somewhere there. And from there they got married. They married normal, they lived normal single life. Normal single life meaning that you lived with Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you related with sisters normally, meaning that you related with them without any spot or wrinkle. And you married normally. If you married normally, you live a normal single life, normal what? You married normally. Why can't you live normally?
Yes.
The problem we have today is once you step in and say, are you part of this movie? Yes, I was a confession. Oh, she's in this movie, he's in this way. But some of us are not born again. Some of us have not been baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's being overlooked now. Because kingdom message means know this, know that, know this, know that. So fundamentals of the Christian faith have been preached away. Some of you have not been baptized, either in water or in the Holy Spirit. But you have a kingdom in view. Which kingdom? A kingdom without foundation must do what? Crumble. It must crumble. A lot of assumptions, even in marriage. Some people enter with high-sounding dreams. Dream. Bishop. Is that how to lay foundation of a marriage? Marriage is a divine relationship that takes place only in this dimension, this realm, the earthly realm. Beyond this point, is there any marriage? There is no marriage. So I always say, when I get to heaven and this is my wife, I'll continue to marry her, continue to love her, I'll stay with you. You must have lost every humanity in you. You must have lost what? Every humanity. And what will be all over you? Divinity. You have acquired a total divine world, nature, in the image and likeness of who? Jesus Christ. Because of the time, I would like to mention a few points to provoke us to discussion. Marriage in the light of the Lord's day and his kingdom. Number one, it is a marriage in which spouses are not afraid or ashamed to open up and share inner feelings. It is a marriage without pretense. It's a marriage without what?
Pretense.
You are not afraid to share your inner feelings. It's a marriage in which a wife is not silenced with carnal authority. Many of our brothers have silenced our wives with carnal what? Authority. That is open eye authority. There are some women who are prisoners in their husband's home. Some of their husbands are preachers. Some of their husbands are elders. But they are quiet, not because they are happy, because they have been suppressed. They have been what? Suppressed. They are suffering from suppression. And when you go into such a place, oh, you think everything is okay. And I didn't say, look, I thank God for my wife. Whatever I say, she does it. But that woman is dying in silence. That woman is dying what? In silence. If you are a minister, you visit such a maybe you are ministering in the city and you are staying with them, the husband will be comfortable staying around you most of the time. If the wife says, bro, can I? You say, yeah, I'll learn it. That's no problem. No problem. They don't want you to get too close to that visiting minister so that the dating ministry will not be what? Exposed. Because every man wants to show that has no problem. I'm a preacher. I have no problem. When he's got heavy problems at his back. Can I tell you, I'll go to scriptures. If you cannot marry a wife, you don't have right to leave the body of Christ. So those of you who are elders and beating up your wives, please quietly go and resign until you get their houses in order. And if there are such people here, you know, fellowships where an elder is not in control of his home, the wife is a prisoner. Please, other elders should meet and ask the brother, go and sort yourself out first. Before you come to suffer, out the body of Christ. And Paul did it in what he said that an elder must be a man. How many wives? One. Not serial polygamy, which we are meeting now. We are meeting it now, indirectly, without knowing, because of sentiments. You know? Well, bro, it's okay. Since that sister is giving too much trouble, it's all right, okay. You know, and he gets married. After a while, that sister was giving me trouble. This is serial polygamy. Serial what? Polygamy. Jesus told that woman, Samaria, you are married how many husbands? Seven. In fact, the one you are living with now is not even your husband. I wish Jesus will come back in flesh to them and say it in our fellowship that serial polygamy should not be encouraged. Serial polygamy should not be what? Encouraged. Once you marry, make up your mind whether good or bad, I will say yes. Whether good or what? Bad. No escape hatch. You know? It's like a highway. There's no exit. One of the things you enjoy when driving on a highway is that if there's a problem, there's an exit. Christian marriage, kingdom marriage, there's no exit. There's no what? Exit. Any exit you see, you know, it's like a close. It's to take you out to stay maybe somewhere and get things in order, take care of your vehicle, and then that close will lead you back to marriage highway. It will lead you to what? Marriage highway. And one of the things that's happening to young people today is that, please, is there any of the brethren who is French speaking that can understand English here? Please raise your hand so we can arrange for the question. Okay, what to arrange? Okay. Will you put, you understand small? Okay. We prefer that if you can sit together. Can you take your seats and then get close to where Senegal is so we can arrange for an interpretation? Anybody here can help us with French interpretation to just help pass on as the discussion go on? Anybody want to volunteer to do that? Okay, please just let me know who are in for one interpretation. Now, in a home where a woman is suppressed, to repress her feelings and be smiling. But one day, that volcano that is burning inside will explode. A very little thing will make it explode. And the moment that woman explodes, to get her back is difficult. A marriage with the kingdom, in the life of the lost day and the kingdom, is not a marriage where a woman turns a man into her meat. You know, mature woman. A woman who is not satisfied being a woman wants to be a man. The greatest strength of a woman lies in being a woman. The greatest strength of a woman lies in being what? A woman. Don't marry a fellow woman. It's wrong. If you turn a man into a woman, you have a sorrow at hand. Because you will do his own job and do your own, and you wear yourself out. No matter how highly educated you are, more than your husband, no matter how rich you are, your salary is greater than that of your husband, remember that it is not an excuse for you to make your wife, as your husband, a helpmeet. You understand what I mean? That your husband is like in a situation I found myself some time ago. I came in, there was a problem I wanted to discuss with a man. The wife said, no, talk to me, I'll talk to him later. He may not understand you. Talk to me. I felt bad. And the man was there grinning like one fool. You understand? That room is vulnerable. That room is what? Vulnerable. It's vulnerable. The man has been meant to be singing choruses. The wife will be singing the verses. In such a home, there's a problem. So, in a kingdom, a wanted marriage, I said earlier, there will be no pretext, and the spouses will not be afraid or ashamed. Afraid! You know, sometimes, if I say it now, you'll get angry. You'll get angry. I don't want to annoy him, but you know, this is my own husband. He has animal temper. But I don't want my. Let me tell you. Your feeling is your true self. Your feeling is what? Your true self. Anybody who gives you opportunity to express your feeling loves you. Anybody who gives you opportunity to do what? To express yourself. Like my wife was saying. Look, just listen. Allow me to express myself. I may be wrong. I may be stupid. I just allow me to give expression to you. Do you know that God gives us opportunity to express ourselves before him? We come to him and say, I'm sorry, sir. I'm committed to that. Are you not expressing your inner self? Let me tell you, that's what they call prayer therapy. Do you know that prayers help you even to be physically well? I'm not talking about the miracle of divine healing. I'm talking about you have opportunity to talk to someone. You see God says, I'm so sorry. I believe to this. This went from that. It has been discovered by social scientists that Christians, non-Christians, commit suicide more than Christians. Unbelievers don't know who to lean on and share their grief. But Christians have a father. They can come to him in the room, strip themselves of their clothes and weep to him, isn't it? That helps you psychologically. If it doesn't help you spiritually, it helps you what? Psychologically. You know, sometimes after sharing tears before God, you feel relieved. Fine. Now, if God allows us to express our feelings to him, what about a man? No, don't say that. You are a Christian. You're supposed to be a Christian woman. Don't say that. You are very kind. You need prayer. Well, she will express her feeling. Then can you say you know your wife? Eh? If you don't allow me to express myself, you will not know me. And that is why we are strangers one to another, because we pretend. I don't, even when I'm a heart like this, even when we are not in talking text, at this conference, there are people from different towns. The French speaking people, who are not in talking terms in their different fellowships in different towns. But at this conference, they'll be, because we want to present an upward package of oneness and love, isn't it? If somebody says, brethren, all is not well, brother, don't be negative. Stop being negative. The grace of my faith, I put it inside. But then, inside, I am standing up, that side, I'm sitting down. Are you following what I said? I want to talk. Sit down. I will sit down physically. But this side, what is happening? I'm standing up. It's burning inside of me. Why not allow me just to open my mouth in foolishness and talk to you, the wise person, accommodate me? It happens in marriage. Especially men are fond of this. I use myself to know, because I represent men. And now they truly represent the king. You know, because they have this, there's something in our carnal nature, you know, to rule, to have authority. Everything is authority. So be ready to express your feelings. Be ready to do what? Give your feelings expression. It includes even little things like saying, I love you. You know, kingdom minded people. Love is carnality. Don't worry that. I'm busy love. Is there any woman here? I'll tell I love you, and she wouldn't be happy about it. If your husband tells you, I love you 10 times a day, will it be too much? Women, will it be too much? Yes, amen. Are we white people? Take away that white. Why are you wearing white dresses? Using white foam, white, even wearing white ring, marriage ring. But when it comes to good behavior, I know white people, Africans. Everything bad was Africa. Why are you coming late? Are we white people? Everything bad. Why can't you enjoy something good? Then the other one is that a marriage with in the light of the kingdom, in the light of the Lord's day, must be a marriage built on joint partnership. Built on what? Joint partnership. 1 Peter chapter 3, somebody read fast. 1:37. One Peter three seven. In fact, if you can read it, this is my Bible. Can somebody read for us?
Likewise, you husbands,
dwell
with them according to knowledge.
Dwell with which people?
With them according to knowledge.
Who are them there? Dwell with their wives according to what? Knowledge.
Giving honor to your wife.
Let me tell you. The knowledge there is not revelation knowledge. If you go to the dream, dwell with them not according to revelation. Do you understand? There's a brother somewhere, I won't mention it because the people from that area are here. He said if he wants to speak with the wife, you know, have man female relationship with the wife, he will minister to the Lord to seek his will. And first of all, I'll minister to the Lord. After ministering to the Lord will give indication whether I'm going to her or not. But the wife was dying. Then the wife came and reported to us. I am dying. Instead of a man saying, I have a problem, they use scripture to cover it. It's true. Men like covering their weaknesses. Are you following what I'm saying? No man wants to expose, you know. And even men don't share their problems. It's only when they know, one, it has come to a critical point, two, you have the answer, immediate answer. But women, that's why the meeting here, they'll share. Bro, let me tell you the case. Women share faster.
and they give him pastor. If you call for prayer, they move first. They can move 20 times. Men stand as if no problem. Those who are looking for the fruit of the womb move forward. Women will move forward. Men will stay away behind. Even when the man is the problem himself. It doesn't want to appear as if. So, read on. That knowledge, dwell with them according to what? Knowledge. Knowledge of the woman. That is knowledge you gain from day to day. Knowledge you gain from what? Day to day. Daily knowledge. You gain through observation, through association. Let me tell you, you don't know your wife very, very well. Don't say I know her. You will keep knowing her. Every day, new chapter will come up. You read. Are you following what I'm saying? I've read 30 chapters of inviting my wife. 30 years of marriage, 30 chapters. I'm sure her own, she must have read up to 60 chapters of my life. Yet she has more to know about me. So she's learning about me from day to day. Experiences, encounters. Eh? She can easily know if I'm hot tempered. By the way, I react to certain things. She said, oh, dear, this guy is a dog. I'll start responding to him like a dog. You know, your husband is like a dog. Yeah, you transfer the knowledge to Christian dogs to him. When you have a dog, you stay at a distance. But you don't want the dog to do what? To bite you. And people will think it's submission. My wife is submitting. It's not afraid of being beaten. It's not submission. You know, so it's knowledge, day-to-day knowledge of your spouse. Each day there's something to know about your spouse. Until the day two of you will have nothing to hide. Two of you will have what? Nothing to hide. And that time you have been matched in his likeness. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said in Genesis, both of them were naked. And they were not what? Ashamed. And really that dimension of marriage, where you have nothing to hide, no skeleton in the cupboard, no account that the wife doesn't know about, no establishment, no investment. There are some brethren who make room for trouble in marriage. Some of these my accounts are making in case there's problem that this woman goes home. I'm not going to start very spiritual, but everything I do, my next of kin is my wife, the captain. Not even my son. She's my next of kin. If I'm not there today, she's the one that will carry all my assets and share my liabilities with my sons. Praise the Lord. But let me tell you, in the olden days, in the old Anglican church, when you wait, you say, with my worldly goods, I deal what? In God. What you are saying is, everything I possess in this world is your own. That's why if you come to my house, my wife will be touching everything, including my own shirt. One time my children got upset. Eh? Everything is your own, everything is your own. Which one is that is own? It took time and I explained to them. She's right. But then the woman doesn't say, with my worldly goods, I do what? In God. What does she say? With my body. This body is now your own. So women don't have this body belongs to the man. Any part the man wants to touch is his own. But some of you have excuses. I'm having headache. Especially when you have the face baby, you forget. Like one of my sisters here, she said, do I go to sister? Hello. You know what you told me yesterday? I asked her a question. He said, I am taking care of my big boy in the house. He said, this is the big boy he's taking care of. He said that the big boy is taking care of. That we don't, we women are babies, which that they, it's very, very true. Do you know that when you have your face, when women have their face babies, men become jealous. Because you now shift your attention to who? To the baby. So that's why I advise you, for those of you who are going to marry, those who are married, when you have your first baby, you share the baby with the husband, rolling the baby's part because of the sin. That's the way you take it back to the nursery. Even when it's been kept worried, very easily. In those days, my wife used to mark papers. Anytime she paid my attention to mark her wife's papers, I got angry. And I raised one and stick to draw her attention. You know, suddenly her head will start. Oh, my head. She will be there. What is it? That's all I wanted. Attention. Please see my attention. Men are babies. Men are babies. They are babies. And if you nurse them like babies, you can forget them. You can do what? You can forget them. So read up.
Giving honor to the wife.
Giving what?
Honor to the wife after the weaker vessel.
Listen to me. You must honor your wife. She's the first lady. Who is the first lady? Honor your wife. The way you honor your wife is the way the extended family will honor her. If you say she's a maid, that's how they will treat her. If you tell her, you know, I have a nickname for my wife. You need to have a nickname for your wife. It helps. I call her the tail of the tiger. How do I say? The tail of the tiger. You know what it means? Is it something very, very precious? If you think that the tail of tiger, you want to have tail of tiger, you must go through life and death to get it. To kill a tiger, is it easy? So if I have the tail of the tiger, that's something very, very precious. Not all will have it. Anytime I want to come too close, I get what I want, I say, oh, God, go. Okay. She will smile. You understand what that is? Women, like, you know, women, that's why very easily women can be deceived. Because they appreciate compliments. They appreciate what? Compliments. When, if I deal with this force, they know if you are being funny. But they appreciate it. It's better than bad words. It's better than what? And if you want to kill a woman, why still do that? Using bad words on her. You kill her family. Abuse. A lot of people abuse women. So, marriage must be continue as a joint partnership. Yes?
And being held together of the grace of life.
As the adjoint beneficiaries of the grace of what? Life. In joint partnership, the two partners are important. The two partners are what? A partner. There is nothing like sole proprietorship in marriage. There is nothing like that. This must be made clear, especially for those who follow traditions of men. I am the man. You don't need to shout it, act like a man. You don't need to shout, I'm a man. It's only those who act in place that, you know, like Shoyinka said, that tiger does not declare his tiger to. Have you ever gone into the forest and had tiger say, I am tiger, have you heard it? Tiger acts like what? Tiger. And when he acts, you say, this must be tiger. But it's men who admire tiger and say, hey, I'm a tiger. Tiger wood, tiger this. Because you admire tiger, and so you must declare a tiger to. But your nature is not the nature of a tiger. So if you are a man, you need to shout about it. No. The people who don't have authority that make noise. People like you and me. Those in authority, like governors, like maybe like what our brother shared with us, they just say, we'll call it SSJ, says there should be no market tomorrow. No market tomorrow. Very quietly. And of course, they have no market. They will force it. But the average, those who don't have any authority, no market to them. Any person where no market, we go here. When you start shouting to the rooftop, I'm the man of this, you are a woman. That's it. Joint partnership. The other one is that your prayers be not hindered. So that your prayers may not be what? Hindered. If there is problem in the home, your prayers will be short circuited. In fact, one way I know that I have problem with my wife is when we can't pray together. Because prayer is a highly spiritual encounter with God. You know. So you now find that when you meet with God, you want to be as honest as possible.
And so if you have an ought against your wife, or your husband, wife has an ought against you, then that must be sorted out. Amen. So if you continue that way, your prayer will be hindered. And one experience we had this understanding, we didn't settle it fast. Then my wife ran out. As soon as he said, son is equal, we better get this matter sorted out. Then we tell him, sorted it out. Held hands and prayed together, and then went to the God to pray for him. And we felt that it was that disagreement that opened the door for attack. So, the next one is marriage in the light of the Lord's day and his kingdom is a marriage in which spouses make room for each other to be themselves and make mistakes and even hurt the other. You leave room, sufficient room for your wife to maneuver, your husband to maneuver, be herself or be himself. If you allow me to be myself, you love me. But if you don't allow me to be myself, I'll be masquerading. There are marriages where husband and wife could masquerade. And enter the bedroom, masquerade in the parlor, everywhere. This is what you want. So I put it on for you. But if you want to know the problem of wearing masks, go to the people that wear masks. This is people that play masquerade. You see they have injuries on the face because they are putting some external something over their face to cover their new faces using something external. So in order not to have hurt, be yourself. In order not to be hurt, be your what? Self. There was one book I read, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? He answered it. I'm afraid to tell you who I am because if I tell you, you won't like me. That's why even as Christians, you must read. You put on open relation, faces, smile, hi, God bless you. Yes, praise the Lord, hallelujah, good progress. At this conference, we present faces that others will accept. This is being a Christian. The deep inside, we are something else. So, the worst place to play masquerade is in marriage union. Is in what? Marriage union. You start playing masquerade. Your wife doesn't know you, and you don't know your wife. Because there's no room for authentic self-expression. Because there's no room for one to make mistakes. You are supposed to make room for somebody to make mistakes. You are supposed to make room for somebody even to hurt you. I was wedding a couple some time ago. The young man stepped forward and said, in this marriage, I pledge to have forgiven you in advance for anything you might do wrong against me. I've forgiven you in what? In advance. We're not starting this. From that on. What it means is that I have no reason to complain, even if you hurt me. I'll seek the way of reconciliation. I'll seek the way of what? Reconciliation. Like in advance, I've forgiven you. Can you do that? Can you do that? You see, thank you for being yourself. So what it means is that make room for your spouse to make mistakes, even to hurt you. Make room for that person to be herself. Expressing opinion that doesn't tie with their own opinion. Sometimes you hear a man say, anything I say, you oppose me. Anything I say, alternative opinion means what? Opposition. Have you discovered it? Alternative opinion means opposition. Because your wife said, husband, why can't we try this way? You see, I know that you challenge me. But the Bible says that women, wives submit themselves to you. You have anything I say, you oppose me. Anything I say, you oppose me. Alternative view, even in fellowship, is not opposition. It is not what? Opposition. Now, the next one is
Marriage in the life of the Lord's day and the kingdom is marriage in which equality is not the issue, but divine allotted roles. Divine allotted what? Roles. The issue is not men and women who are superior to the other. We are. Women said they are fighting for equal rights. Men are struggling to maintain what they call status quo. Now let me tell you, there is no question of equality between a man and a woman because there are different genders. There are different what? Genders. And each one is superior in its own allotted role. Do you know, in giving life, in releasing seed, is the man's business, isn't it? In receiving and nurturing life, is the woman's what? Business. So you need the two to make it work. So in your own God-given role, you are superior. So there's no question of equality, but role. What it means is that each one must understand his God-given role and play it. If you leave your own role and start playing another person's what? Role, you know, then there will be a problem in that home. So you see that the home should work, husband and wife relationship should be likened to the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 12, is many membered what? Body. No part, even the ones that are insignificant, the ones that are hidden, not visible, and the ones that may be even more delicate and more important. Do you see my liver? But it's very, very strategic. Do you see my kidney? Do you see my brain? Man, I can do without this hand. Can I do without it?
Yes.
I can do without it, but I can't do without my kidney. But they are hidden, they are not visible. Look at the ones you attend to all the day. You attend to this one hardcore. They are like television presenters. But the engineers in the engine room making the pictures to go out, nobody remembers them. Nobody thinks that they're important. You know, they earn more than, I mean, sometimes they don't even earn as much as those presenters. The business of presenters is to say it. But the engine that transmits the information is it. The man is hidden. And that was why they had this show from them quite recently. So at the end of each year, they said the new starter is this and three to the engineer. So that everyone will recognize. At least if their husband's name appears, they say, that's her husband. People want recognition. A marriage is one body with many parts. One body with what? Many parts. You are the husband, you have your own parts. You cannot be head and tail at the same time. So accept your wife as a part of your body, and you are a part of your wife's body. As a matter of fact, at the beginning, God created one man in his own image. And later on, he saw something that was not quite in place. He said, it's not good for a man to do what? To be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And then God caused sleep to come upon that man, and he divided him into two. The Bible says a rib was lifted. That rib, the actual meaning is a part. A part is not one rib. That's why people refer to your wives as your better what? Half. So the mathematics is half plus half will give you what? One. There is nothing like one plus one, two. Answer one. Plus one, what? No, it's not true, even if from scripture. It's half plus what? Half. What did God separate? God separated the female gender, female traits, from masculine traits. So you see that if you look at a man, you still see some elements of, you know, feminine traits. Any man without that to balance his masculine must be a wicked man. Women have this trait of mercy and compassion. So if you are a man, you don't have little ingredients, little leftovers. He says, if the factors, female factors in you, you must be
is wicked Shiloh. The same thing true of women. Women, you must have some recessive male traits in you to stabilize you. God allowed all these things. Every part contains every other part.
Hallelujah.
But God concentrated the female part in the female gender, the male part in the male gender. And his program is, I won't go into why he divided into two. The idea of dividing into two is for a strategic reason at the end to bring them what? Together. So that the two shall become what? One flesh. So what should be your goal in kingdom marriage? To become harmony. One. That should be your goal. So you now see that marriage, in marriage, with kingdom in view, is not a question of equality or inequality, but role. Again, it is a marriage where activities that facilitate bonding is encouraged. Activities that facilitate what? Bonding are encouraged. What is bonding? It's another word, it's a bonding word for the biblical word, cleaving. Yeah? The Greek meaning of that word, cleaving, is to catch a hot pursuit. You cleave to your wife. So what it means is that your wife is like somebody running ahead of you, and you are pursuing her vigorously to catch up with her. Because it's you that went out to look for a wife. He that findeth a wife, findeth what? A good thing, and obtaineth favor from what? The Lord. The same way you discover that, the passion with which you discover that woman, is the passion that will drive you in catching up with her so that you can bond. Bonding or giving is a process. Bonding or giving is what? A process. If you don't see it happening in your marriage, you know, immediately, trust God, it will happen later. If you are pursuing your spouse vigorously, if you make it a point, that is, you become deliberate in doing things that will make both of you bond. And that is why common activity, common interest is good. Any marriage that started with friendship is a marriage planted on solid ground. Friendship. People have a problem that people can show who your brothers are, but not your friends. It's you that will produce your friends to your people. But people can easily say, that's your brother. That's it. In other words, your friend is your personal choice. And a friend is someone with whom you have bonding factors, common bonding factors, things that both of you enjoy. Things that when two of you are involved in it, there's nothing like loneliness. Do you understand what I mean? That's what your wife should be your friend. Your wife should be what? Your friend. Your husband should be your what? Friend. So you see that common interest. Now if you discover that the common interest is not there, develop it. You develop common interest. For instance, I like dogs so much. I have passion for dogs. And dogs can mess up the place. The other day, I brought in a dog, removing the dog mess from the handler. He looked at my wife, he came to me and said, "Oh, this must be, you have a wife that loves dogs." She loves dogs. But I think that she's doing it because of me. Are you following what I'm saying? She loves dogs. But she has discovered it's my passion, so she does everything to keep my dogs for me. She takes care of my dogs for me better than I do. And because of it, I reward her with what? Here. After sweeping, I buy her a command perfume to perfume her dog. Watch out, you'll be rewarded.
Hallelujah.
Look, no matter how rich a woman is, no matter how rich a woman is, she needs the husband something to top up. She needs the husband money to do what? Top up. My wife now, she's well off. My wife is well off. Why should I? No. She's okay. She's a girl of 17. She can take care of herself. No. Once in a while, go and buy something special and do what? And surprise her. Put it under the pillow. And when she's making the bed, she's going to say, and then you write something on it.
Huh? Yeah, my love for you can never be exhausted. It sounds kind of like the God and the sons of Solomon. Solomon, they will take it to a new man. You could read it today and give it type and certain interpretation. But for Solomon, it was real love. He was talking about a passion for woman. When I was dating my wife, you know, I didn't know how to express my love again. I copied one chapter in Songs of Solomon, first page. You know, I remember that time I was cutting her. I didn't know how I. Okay, I went to somebody who understood the video very well. I said, "How do you say I love you so much?" He said, "Romans 3:18." So I wrote it down to her. She wrote 3 pages in response, and I discovered. Like for Fanny, I say, okay, Mama feels me a thing. Say, so. It's a quite offensive woman response to that, isn't it? Mama feels me a thing. Don't you enjoy it?
Why not?
And so that was the first thing I learned in their language. And I will continue to use that expression. Mama feels it. And the guy is not tired of hearing it. You know Yuko of Biafra. Why is it that she's married Bianca much younger than himself? We understand that Yuko, everyone posts poems of love on the toilet, inside the bedroom, on the passageway. Bianca will open her back and see a love letter inside. Somebody said, "You can't believe us. When we are thinking about the kingdom of God, I'm thinking about." Let me tell you. If you cannot live in deep love with your wife, at peace with your wife, what kingdom are you expecting? Your marriage should be a reflection of where you are going.
Hallelujah! Yeah.
So, it is a marriage, that bonding activity, seek each other's interests. Develop interest in other, your spouse's interest. Don't be selfish, it must be my own. It must be my own. And again, it is a marriage in which money and material things is not worship. You play hide and seek with your husband or with your wife over enemies. The money you have. I said it earlier, the woman owns all their money and material things. She is the manager of wealth in the home. And the man is what? Wealth creator. Is the what? Wealth creator. You are the wealth creator. You are the hunter. And your wife is waiting at home to cook what you brought from the bush. Women are better managers than men. Women are better managers. If your wife has a hand in management of your resources at home, you will have a saving. Men waste money. Find out this about women. If there is no food in the house, the woman will tell you, "I have no money, and there's nothing." But when you come back, how they perform that magic, I don't know. They always have a strategic saving. Some money, you know, stored up somewhere. They go behind the compound, they get this thing, get that, they are stood on the table. When a man says there is no money, there is what? No money, honestly. But when a woman says, "I don't have money," what he's saying is, "I don't have money for this purpose." As long as I said, "What about the money I gave you?" "That one is for school fees. That one is for never." I said, "Bring it, it's emergency." He said, "That one is dedicated." So women have heads and subheads. You understand? They don't like to buy, for those of you in civil service, moving money from this item to this item, except there is emergency. But for a man, the whole money is locked in one thing. He puts it in the pocket, a man puts money in the pocket. There's a money in the pocket, intoxicates. Money in the pocket does what? Intoxicates. So you can, if you enter yourself, say, "I've forgotten that I don't even have toothpaste." Then you already have toothpaste. You still do that. But women know how to titrate.
Women know how to titrate and save money. So if you are open to your wife and tell her all about your investments, the income, she will help you to keep the money. I know of a brother somewhere. It was the wife that saved money and built a house. And when that woman took the man to the bank, I showed him the saving for the house, because the man was planning, when I get money. The woman took him to the bank and said, "That's the money for the house." The man was shocked. Women know how to save better than men. So the wife should be the financial manager, whereas the husband should be the wealth creator. Now, it doesn't mean that women should not be doing anything. In fact, I encourage women to get involved in things that will not take them too far away from home. Get involved in things that will enable you have your eyes in the home. Sometimes you may sacrifice your career on the altar of your home. I remember when my wife wanted to do masters. So she announced it in the house, "I'm going to do masters." And I gave my approval, "Go and do masters." Our son was about 5 years old that time. The boy lamented, "My God, Edo will kill us." Edo was in bed in the house. "Edo will kill us." And I had said, "What? We are going away. Edo will kill us." My wife said, "To hell with masters. Let me stay and keep my student work alive. Let me tell you, it's better to forget that master's and PhD and raise your children. After raising them, you can study as a old woman, rather than going and getting your master's and then you have vagabonds behind the house." I'm telling you, very serious. Even if you are a minister like me, I go around preaching and preaching. It's my wife that stays home. Let me tell you, it is the woman that grooms the children at home. It's not the man. We only come as supervisors to check out what is going on. Yes, any problem, blah, 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 you're off again. It is the woman that takes care of the details. In fact, if a child is to be born again, normally the mother that leaves their child to be born. And one of the things I've spoken in my home, that my wife's prayers sometimes affect my children. You know, some time ago, my son told me something, and we discussed it very, very well. And after a while, I thought, I said, "Why are you not what we discussed?" He said, "Dad, I've had mom praying, and I decided to slow down." I had mom. I thought that experience. You know, she prays for them one after the other. A prayer woman without praying for each child. You know, but my own is, "Lord, I remember all my children. I pray, Lord, you take care of them anywhere they are. A title we pray for them, name by name." What I'm saying is that, and you know, she's also the one that shapes their careers. My own is to run around, look for fees. And she will tell me, "This one is going this way, that is going that way." And of course, in that role, I am there to support. She is the superior partner in that area. She's also a teacher. So I don't argue with her over these career things. I just make a little input, and then she now decides what to do. And then I come to announce it as the president of the nation of my home. She's the vice president. And she's everybody knows that. She's the vice president of the home. And so you now see that in a home where the wife sacrifices the home care, home keeping on the altar of career or ministry or whatever you call it, one day the crack will show. I want to stop here and take questions. This act which, like Bro Willie will tell you, that this thing is something that takes weeks to discuss. I'm not saying that my experience is the best. It's only providing a guide. And maybe one of the few, I think, I don't know, the people here have been married longer than myself.
Very, very few. So I have a little experience to share with you. And I trust that with this you can have an idea of what we are talking about. Please, when you refer to the woman as the weaker sex, it's not weaker in intelligence, it's not weaker in spiritual strength, it's weaker in what? Physical strength. Our bones are stronger than their bones. A woman's bone is flexible because she gives birth to life. No man can give birth to a child because their bones are like a concrete bone. It cannot move. But a woman, once she wants to have all the bones start moving, isn't it? Giving way, some acting like this. You know? That's how their bone is. That's why in old age, they suffer broken bones easier than men. But men don't. So with that strong bone, you start hitting her. And you say you're in this move, beating up your wife. You look at her, how God made her. Which part do you think you can hit? Only cows beat up their wives. They show my dead men. And the new man rising up to beat up the wife and saying, it's part of this thing, you need to be born again. Because you have had reports of brothers beating up their wives. And many people are aware. Then he said, in a home where children know their father beats up their mother, they grow up with bitterness in their hearts. There is a place now being called to come and minister because the boy is growing up with hatred for his father. In fact, the mother is trying to calm the boy down, but no amount of words will persuade the young man. Because he has seen, once he saw the mother, the mother and father were fighting, and before his son, the father removed the mother's wrapper. And he saw the mother's wickedness. We are trying to now call him and minister to him so that, because that's the picture inside, he gets it. Who wants to see the mother's nakedness? You want to see a mother's nakedness? What? With your own father, who is supposed to be a cover to your mother. Now, because he is going from removing the apron. Then, that's the question. I don't know how you can call such a man a fat, so the boy is bitter. But that's not the answer to the problem you want to tell the boy. The mother said, please, allow me, it's my husband, don't let me know the problem. The boy is a graduate now, so you can't interpret things to him, you understand? You know, let me tell you, in a home where a husband and wife, you know, create atmosphere of love, children feel secure. Children feel what? Secure. They feel secure. You know, when my children feel one way, you know, each time they want to get anything from me, they go through their mother. They say, you know, this is your husband, whatever you tell him, he will do. If they want to confide, you know, very deep things, they go to their mother. I know you tell your husband everything. Every this one, give it to yourself. So now they are grown up, they say, telling you this, passing it on direct to him. That's very correct. You will tell me. You know, one day I was sleeping upstairs when we were in Lagos. My children came on holiday and they went down to play. My wife followed them. She said, go back. The husband will wake up and start looking for you. I come here to be soft asleep. Go back to me. Are you following what I'm saying? And let me tell you, one of the reasons why I struggle and I work hard to hold on to my wife for the sake of my children too. I'm telling you, they don't feel comfortable each time we disagree. They don't. And I don't want to hold them. That's why in a divorce case, the first casualty is who? Children. Because it is in them that the oneness is expressed. For this cause, shall a man leave the father and the woman leave the mother, both of them shall kill and become what? One flesh. Where is that oneness physically expressed? In children. So, I am in my child, my wife is in my child.
And so when we are separated, for us it's easy, because physically we are two different fellows. But for the children, is it easy? It means we was divided into two.
And we now see a child, so, you know, anytime there is, you know, any discussion, bothering of family, you see that child withdrawing. For their sake, why can't you endure? For their sake, why can't you do what? Endure. Today, there are women who are standing for their homes. Don't run away from your home. Don't. No matter how oppressed you are. Women, some women still run away. When you run away, you are creating room for the man. You are creating room for the man. That's why, like, look, when you have this agreement with your husband, try and reconcile. People should start talking. You know, men, like, sometimes it's probably like, when a man needs space, you know, he can enjoy that kind of, you know, fake anonymity. It's just to start on his own. You won't be bothering him anymore. You know, so, they concise so that there will be free flow of communication in the home. God bless you, Jesus' name.
Amen.
Shall we now have reaction? Reaction, please. Is to make it sweet and more effective. You know, you can have one mic, you have to do some service and not forget. But to make sure that at times the mic can go far. While the questions are coming, you can also write your question if you feel you don't want to just speak it. You can write and forward. Don't be someone to pass on, then we can see we can address it. Bless you. Anybody has a question that can? Okay. Sorry. My name is Hans. The question I want to ask. Okay, my name is Hans Eno. I'm from Abuja, Pastor. The question I'd like to ask, but that's a situation where, like, our uncle has said that man. Sorry. Our uncle has said man is the wealth creator in a home, and a woman is the financial manager. But we have reverse situations in most instances. And you find out that in such situations, the men in question do not make concerted effort to ensure that they build themselves out of that kind of situation. And what exactly would you advise such men to do when you have a situation where the wife has permanently become the breadwinner and then nothing is done to change the situation? That's my concern and question. Praise the Lord.
Does anyone have any question that related to this as close to me so that we can, I want to be able to save time. Anyone has a question that related to this aspect of so livelihood for the home? Anyone have such questions so we can go to?
At some years ago, we were talking to a couple who seemed to be in this circumstance, and the response of the man was that God wants to humble the sister. You understand what I'm saying? That God wants to humble the sister, but the question is, how long would that humbling process continue without the man intervening?
There is no question of God is trying to humble a sister. The point is that that man is a lazy person. He who cannot provide for the family is more than who can live with them. You know, that's a lazy man. That's a lazy man. You must go. Let me tell you, if you actually you are a man, you must make effort. I don't care the contribution. Your wife might be a manager in an NPC, and you're a taxi driver, and a living in taxi driving, and bring the what you can. Are you following what I'm saying? And your wife then will be to supplement.
to supplement. But God used your wife's earning as basis. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble. Sometimes it affects authority in the home, authority flow. He who plays the pipe dictates the music. Are you following what I'm saying? I remember when I was in civil service, I was not being paid, and my wife was being paid. And there's nothing as disastrous as telling your wife to ask for money for taxi in the morning. I don't know, I scratch my head. Is there any money there? For what?
You know, women want to know.
A fellow man will just give his hand to what he wants to say. For what? Tell me exactly. Oh, my God. I say, God, bear me out of this situation. Let me tell you. That brother should cross over to the next seminar and learn how to be a witch. I say, where to what? Creator. When I was living in Dolphin Estate, Lagos, one young man came up one morning and said, can I remove your trash for you? I said, yes, how much do I pay? He said, 30 naira a month. Hey! I asked him to start, you know, removing the trash. I didn't know you had gone around Dolphin Estate. He sent a member of the ballot. Gone around Dolphin Estate, telling, getting the same 30 naira for each month. He will come with his cat, the young man. I didn't know, never I realized he had a degree in history. We will drive the cat to you and then come and greet you. Come bless you, sir. And come here. I'll be paying 30 naira. After 3 months, he increased it to 100 naira. I said, I'm still willing to pay. By the time I left the doctor, they said it was 300 naira. Now, when he got to 100 naira, he came to say, sir, there are some people who might be coming here to remove it. What means that you have gone and cried? Before you leave, by the time you go to 300 naira, the young man had established a corporate body for cleaning of offices, airports, and seaports in top positions. The point is that laziness, especially laziness that is what people use scripture, misinterpretation of scripture as a pretext. You know, I just want to wait on the Lord and be staying. You know, as the priest of the house, I need time in loneliness with God. Let me tell you, whether you are alone with God or not alone with Him, provide food for the family. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Someone has a question. Who has the other man?
Nizo.
Praise the Lord. I have a question concerning what you said. It's also about finance. You said men and women should be open to each other and that we shouldn't have something like you're hiding from your wife and your wife hiding from the husband. But what if it's in a case like this? Like, a lot of women hide their money because once the man knows it must finish, you won't rest to finish. Because there is something that comes up, you say, okay, make use of that money, you always make reference to you. Sometimes it's better for you not to know that the money is in there. Because there might be a rainy day that money is in there. So I don't need to go out with money. And people sometimes, the other time, men, they also make this complaint.
I didn't know, so you had this one. Did you know I had the money that something like that? So how did we draw the line? Because if both parties know about the result, it will go. Praise the Lord. I believe that when the scripture says the two were naked, not ashamed. Because you are openly being transparent to each other. I believe with our scripture, doesn't matter how we try to explain it, doesn't matter how we try to, you know, situate it, it's a plain word that you can't hide anything from it, from your spouse if you have to be warned. I don't believe in anything that your spouse should not know. Because that's how the bonding grows. Praise the Lord. With wisdom and with understanding, as you share. See, that's one of the things that you have to start from the beginning and agree on how your finances will be operated. Alright? If you're earning money and both of you are earning money, then you decide, you find out what the budget of the house is, decide what you need, and then you plan for it together. Okay? So the fact that, well, you have your money, this is my own money, this is your own money, as far as I'm concerned, I believe that's nothing like your money and my money. It's our money, it's the fact that the two are one. If you're my own, it's one person, so to say. And so it's not your money, my money. When you have that understanding, it's easier for you to. I know there are places that are locations where some men can be very reckless with money, and so the woman feels to, if I give him all the money, and so okay, you take decisions, then you just wonder in 2 days. I know, but if the man now recognizes that's where his sincerity, openness, shows your weaknesses, you know you have to do this, and then your wife finds that you should do it, and then you reach a place towards it and find a solution. And you know, I know men, brothers, you don't look. It's not that they are just wrecked or foolish, but they know that when they have money, they can easily spend it on things. Maybe they're not frivolous things. There might be things that are important, but then if you're not a priority, they can't place the thing the way it should be. So they travel the money too, and they feel that their wives are better in managing money. So they hand over to the wife. The wife has the role of controlling, wonder what to be spent. Okay? There's also where the woman that the money comes to her. So in that case, man has, God has a way of, God cannot bring two people together that they are both extravagant, they're just spending out.
No.
God has a way of planning things.
That's right.
There must be somebody who is much judicious in spending. And that person should be given, should be in that, the force to be able to handle that. That's where the oneness and working together comes. When you don't feel well, and the man just being part of everything that will happen. No. We should be able to recognize the graces that God has put. It's when you bring it together, the series of compliments that God is trying to bring together. Recognize what, the strength that the wife has, and know that that's the gift God has brought to make you whole, and then utilize them. Sometimes men, we underutilize the graces that God has given us. The Bible says, if I find a wife, find a good thing, and obtain favor from the Lord, that favor is not, I can't understand what favor is all around, so many things that God has put in hand to help you. Success problems. That's why God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make him a help, that's suitable. Just speaking for you. Your wife that is a help meet for you may not be a help meet for me. So God knows everything about me, nothing about my wife. God made us so He knows who fits in. Praise the Lord. So we can also, if you discover that there's a problem with your husband is spending, there's nothing that you can do. Bring to God, and God cannot bring solution. You can pray your need. If you are worried about it, pray, God will do it. Praise the Lord. If you are talking about the kingdom life, talking about this in this day, we should be able to apply the scripture. Since God is saying, know that God is true, God is all power, and nothing God cannot do, and His promises are here and amen. We believe that, and let us can apply it. We see them work. This is not about theoretical, application. This is time to apply the things. That's the essence of this second, the first place. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, there's a question here, and I think I want to believe that in addressing, please, one of a situation where trusted wife is very extravagant and she doesn't know it. I think it's simple. You lovingly, and you wisdom, let her know. Hallelujah. Once she recognizes that, so I'm reading this, then it will be, you know, a case for you to place it. Not say you are extravagant, something you take in the it's part of you. You pray, you know, together, you know, and share, and she will wish to want to feel right, to change, and God will come in and finish you to that. Praise the Lord.
Another
one is when two of you plan together, you know your challenges for each month, each year. There is no greater discipline than knowing the challenges ahead of me. I'm training my children, and it's costing me so much. My wife is aware of it. So it's a check on unnecessary expenditures on her part, and a check on unnecessary expenditures on my own part. So it's good both of you know what the challenges you have each year, each month. You have electric bill, water bill, this bill, that bill, health bill. You have to give good education to your children now is expensive. Have you discovered it? And I think we should not aim at anything very low. We should aim very, very high. And if you are going to aim high, please start saving money for your children's education. When we started our home, we made it our aim. And that was why at that time, my wife used mother care napkin for 4 pregnancies. The last one, we didn't actually plan for that baby. The baby came by God's choice. You know what I mean? If it happen to you, sometimes the best come that way. You know? So, she had given away a napkin she used, and of course, most of them have gotten from. After each bath, she will wash the napkin and put in a safe place, in the cupboard. My wife used the same, what do you call it? The dress women put on while pregnant, and not same brand. Kept them for years. And my wife was going to the market, going to, you know, bend and bend section, you know what I mean? You know, you have a market, you know, the bend. You should wash what? She continued with that for a very, very long time. It is now that my wife will go to the market and go to the boutique and buy something for herself. Or I buy for her. But at that time, our income was terribly low. At that time, I was earning 200 naira a month, and she was earning about that 300 naira, 200 naira plus 300 naira a month, 600 naira. There was a time my wife decreed that nobody should be feeding milk in her house, his father's milk, and I obeyed. Are you following what I'm saying? If a wife knows the responsibility in the family, she will tailor the family budget to meet up with that challenge. So what I'm saying to that person is, be open to know the burden you are carrying, and both of you should work together to lift up that burden. Two are better than what? One.
Praise the Lord. There's a question here. How about the submission of all to God as your? I think the person meant, what about submission to your husband as son to God? But it's put it the other way around. What about the total dependence on God for our life? How about the having joint account? Well, this doesn't show clearly as the question, but I think what you're trying to say is submission to your husband as son to God. I mean, what is it referring to the issue of maybe the wife managing the money or another spend that question?
That authority structure in the home. Now, we see that before the fall, Adam and Eve were individually responsible to God. Do you know that?
There was nothing like submitting to Adam. There was no question of submission on the part of Eve to Adam. When did the issue of submission arise? It was what? After the fall. He said, from now on, your husband shall have what? Authority over you. From now on. Now, but that is not the best. It was a compromised situation to at this period of transition. Now, our desire is to return to the original man made in the image of who? God. We should also accept the consequences. That's why I'm saying, don't, if we have the light of the day and the light of the kingdom in view, the issue of equality and inequality is out. It's now mutual submission. Mutual what? Submission. We complement each other and we are responsible to God. Now, some people think that being submissive means even when a man suggests something evil, I follow. No. No man should play God in another, no person should play God in the life of another person. No woman should worship, that worship the husband as God. Honor your husband. Submit to your husband. But your husband is not God. I am not God. And another thing I want to warn women is this. You enjoy being loved. Please, there is a dimension of love at this rest that men cannot fulfill. Only God can fulfill it. An inner desire of love and acceptance is important to the woman. But only God can get you to that dimension. But then the challenge to us men is to rise to the occasion. And because we have the kingdom in view, marriage is a type and shadow of reality. Christ and who? The church. To have a marriage without a church without spot or wrinkle. So you now see that if we make it our end, then you will be laboring to love your wife to that extent that there will be nothing, no longing again in her heart. But where we are now, there's always a gap. Women should recognize it. That there's always a gap that no mortal can fill. You know. So I pray that we understand if we're accepting this kingdom message in reality, then we are going back to Adam and Eve before they sin against God. They were jointly responsible to God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. There's a question here. Part of that question, people of that question talked about what about having joint account. I finished in college. I don't know about having joint account. In fact, you know, having joint account is also part of where you can support a family and then you get bonded for life. You know. But the modalities of that will depend on all of you. Okay, so it's not that at times some people can have the account and still cannot, you know, work together. That's true. Okay, so you can have your, for instance, my wife and we didn't have any joint account. It was only when there was a mutual check that came to us, and the faith, normally, Sophie, I left faith to her account or my account, the bank now said that is no longer obtainable, that we must open a joint account. Then what I did was to convert my own account into a joint account for both of us. Praise the Lord. And if you have separate accounts, you know, but, you know, I, at any point in time, I know what is that account.
That's right.
She knows what is my account.
Yes.
And in fact, I sign her signature and draw the money to her account.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that's not that hidden. That's something we make the plans to get everything, you know, what we need and what we have in certain places. Praise the Lord. The only thing, of course, you can't sign my signature, but I can sign her signature. Praise the Lord. She knows of truth that I cannot, you know, that not like that he, you know, before her. Anything I do, she knows. Whatever she does, I know.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I think in that case that she didn't have any problem, but whether it's a joint account or not, it doesn't matter. But everything there goes.
Yeah. That's it for the
joy of the Lord. Coming.
Hallelujah. Any question?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
With respect to the issue on board now. During your lecture or teachings, you didn't make reference to the emphasis was more on those who are already married.
Okay.
You didn't emphasize in relation to those who are still single. That is one aspect of my question. As in, some people say marriage is carnal and some say it's divine or spiritual. So I would like you to throw more light on that aspect. And secondly, involvement of extended family. Involvement of extended family, like you see some women stay attached to their family even after they are married. Some people still put their father's name as a application. So I still like emphasis on those extended family attachments to the key family and his marriage, spiritual or carnal, as people say.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, unfortunately, because of the time we have, and the main aim of this is to look at marriage, not look at the issue of, what happens, before you get married. Praise the Lord. Although I would have started to deal with the issue of, marriage, choice, the will of God and all that. But we can handle it in this segment, only 2 days. And this aspect of marriage to home is this time that the Lord is opening up our eyes to. So, but for those who are not married, it's for you to also have an idea what to expect or what God expects from you when you get into marriage. There are some people who got married before they began to now learn some of these things. But you are privileged to hear and learn what is expected of you in this way when you get married. So to sort of guide you and then equip you as you go into that union. Praise the Lord. And then also an issue of external influences, extended family, we may not be able to deal with all that today also within the scope of this. But the important thing is there are so many things as to get that we need to learn that we deal with even before you get married. But then what I want to say is most of the time that in this kind of mindset, an idea that in-laws or family members, that they're devils as far as your marriage is concerned. And so many times who wish you don't have parents in-law, so don't have any problems, But you see, you can make up your mind, and also pray to God. If you have mentioned that maybe your in-laws are troublesome or that kind of thing, some people wish that their wife to be, that their parents should be alive so that they don't have any problem, And then they forget that themselves will one day become mothers and fathers in law. So it's important that we know their place. If we would treat that in Ephesians 5, there's place for every person. You know the role of everybody. But it's a marriage is for two people, and the home is the two people and their children when the children are there. So those are people, with wisdom, God will help you know the limits of their involvement. Okay? Once you're married, you're married to your husband. And so your parents no longer, that's why when we wait people, we thank their parents when they hand over. The lady, your handover, your authority has ended from that day. Yes. That's why her name changes.
That's true.
I don't know what all of it. I know, based on scriptures, and I don't subscribe to people putting half in their names, and carrying their father's name along, their husband's name. I don't believe in that. I don't think it's scripture. I don't think it's wise. But some say it was because that name that we know that name for a long time and all that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I know about marriage, you know, I don't know why I got my wife because I've made the name what she's known for, she worked with that. So she'll kind of imagine, you know, so no, I don't live with that. So just put, you know, your name, put your father's name, half of them, you put your husband's name. That is not the way God says the two of you shall become one. So why is your father's name coming in between them? Praise the Lord. At that point of carry over something, what to maintain the status quo. But then allow God, so it's God that will give you the popularity or the favor, not that name that you have before. Praise the Lord. And then some have different, you know, ideas about that. Some have some, well, if it's a professional thing, you want to maintain. But I think that you look at scriptures and not the word. Praise the Lord.
There are quite a lot of questions which we need to take so that we can go on.
How about that the marriage is not a dream? Dream, 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 vision, vision, vision. Does it mean there's nothing like having a vision in marriage or the will of God in marriage? Now, the guidance you have in marriage is he that findeth what? A wife. Findeth what?
A good thing.
A good thing. Obtaining favor from the Lord. There are some people who want to sound super spiritual. And perhaps had some young men say, look, the girl I'll marry, she will come here and tell me. I will sit down here. It is wrong. It's you that will go and find. Now, in that finding, you are guided by the principles of scripture. That's another teaching altogether. There are principles of scripture that will guide you. Now, there is a place for dream and vision. You know, but I want to tell you that it is not common in marriage. Now, such things come in certain peculiar circumstances. I'll give you an example. Not for idle people like us. There was this missionary in Congo, a man who was ministering to the Lord there, and another single missionary was also in Congo, another end of Congo, this meeting. And they had a conference in London. And a lot of people have warned them that they will miss out in marriage. Now, when they entered into that conference hall, the man turned back, his eyes met that of his sister. And God said, that's your wife. At that moment, God told that woman, that's your husband. The man took his face and needed the blood of Jesus and cleansed his hand of every defilement. And then turned back again, their eyes met. The man said, no, I have a problem, I have to go and pray through. And left through the other door to go to the restroom. And the woman left through the other to go to the restroom. They met at the hallway. The man said, what's wrong with you? The woman said, you too. And introduction went on, and they discovered that both of them were ministering in the same joint interest now. Yeah. Both of us are in Congo. Relationship developed. They got married. Let me tell you, it was divine intervention. But where is your Congo? I do tell you. With all the time available to you to relate with brothers and sisters. Do you understand? Marriage comes through Christian relationship. Let somebody be bold enough to tell you that as you relate, you will be. God will guide. The guidance I have is do not be mismated with who? Unbelievers. As long as they are young, don't go at a tender age and think, I call it pairing off. You pair off. This is my girlfriend. This is that. Look, it's something that comes over time. Don't pay off. Give yourself opportunity to interact with people with open mind. After some time, you start moving in groups. After some time, you just discover that you will begin to know somebody with whom, you know, that are not ruling out visions, are not ruling out, but let it not come first. Let nobody come to you and say, I was the other day waiting on the Lord, and I saw a spelling of one name, one in Dockers, one in John. I sense that God is saying, you will manage that Dockers. Don't listen to that person. Because you are not deaf and you are not blind. If God wants you to marry that person, God will talk to you. Now, if you have such a vision about a brother and sister, why can't you pray and say, God, thank you very much. Manifest to them. Isn't it? So people use dreams and vision to manipulate others. And it should not, some people have used it to destroy homes. Some homes that were built on visions and dreams have scattered to the sun. Only vision and dream. Somebody tell me, see, this is actually my wife, you know. And it's not as if I love her. I don't even like her. It's only that the law asked me to marry her. I don't have, ordinarily, I don't love her. Please don't marry somebody you don't love. The other one states, what does a wife do? Many times verbal beating is more than physical beating from a husband. A terrible thing. Verbal beating can be worse than what? Physical beating. When you have crisis, I and my wife will agree that anytime we have misunderstanding, we shouldn't use unconventional weapons. We should use conventional weapons because unconventional weapons have not flawed. You know the ones I mean by unconventional weapons? The bomb you will throw that will wipe out this entire city. But there's a bomb you throw that will only damage parts of the building, you know, small bomb. You know, you know, that one's simple. But when you look at your wife and say a word, something like this, no one doubt, they say that you will prosecute before you got born again. So you'll never forget it. That's atomic bomb we are throwing. So that is it. You say, no wonder your father died of madness. That's your father's madness. That's what comes upon you. A family of mad people. Oh my God. That's atomic bomb. And any statement you will make that a woman or man will find difficult to forget, born again. But let me tell you, you can forgive. But forgetting takes what? A long time. I'm telling you, I better not give that person that injury and scare. That what one Igbo proverb said, that pot your enemy gives you on the palm. Each time you wash your hand, you do what? You remember it. Please don't use verbal, dirty, toxic words to destroy one another. It's bad. If you beat somebody up physically, the person may forget. You know, but you are not in God. This kingdom dimension of marriage. Rule out verbal attack, rule out the physical attack. Why should you really beat up your wife? If you are my Tyson, why not go and face my Tyson? Is it your wife? You know. Today, if you turn to your radio, they are complaining about battering of women. And there are lawyers now that are leading lawyers that are ready to jail some men over this issue. You know, and you, the Christian, who believe in beyond Pentecost, you know, what even unbelievers, the level they don't get to, you are getting there. And you come out and say, you're a Christian, you are that, you are this, you are that. If you don't have your house in order, you have no right to rule in the house of God. So, sister, the advice is, as Brother Willie said, pray and trust the Lord to change the situation. Amen. Pray and trust the Lord to change the situation. Another thing that can happen, if it gets out of hand, you can invite the attention during weddings. I usually, there are people that call best man or whatever. And I tell people, I'm talking to you now, if you are going to marry, the person who is going to be your best man must be somebody your wife respects and you respect. Somebody who can talk sense into you. Somebody who your wife can run to and you calm down if you are angry. There must be somebody that don't just choose somewhere, but I need somebody who is same height with me. I will not plan the fellowship. I can't even find somebody go out there. No, whether that person is short or tall, whether the suit you are going to use will fit him or not, find somebody you can get to and then get the attention of the man. That's somebody intimate to you. In fact, such a person comes earlier than even the elders of the church. You know, so there must be. And the same thing with the woman. Have somebody as their chief bridesmaid or whatever, a woman their husband can respect. In fact, if your husband knows you're about to report a matter to that woman, she will call us. Let's get to this. There are some, are there not some people? There are some people. You know, we need people who can serve as our clearance house, where you can clear yourself. You need such relationship. But it's not every, each and every matter you report. It's when matters get start getting out of hand.
Praise the Lord. How about husband or wife or children becoming an idol negatively? To fulfill the scripture that say the marriage is not, those who not marry should, those marriage should not be a distraction. We're quoting 1 Corinthians 7. First one is talking about people who are married, even though they are not. And at times it takes to out of context and it will be the wrong way. We did not say it's really to your wife. What it's saying is that it is suitable, the thing we're discussing this time around, that you have a lot of responsibility, on the kingdom and the thing that God is doing, that all your attention is not wrapped to get married, they cut off themselves from the rest of the things and then, just their wife, God wants them to see things, because of their marriage, they won't be able to do that. Now you should know that God is first. No matter what you're doing, as you share love to your wife, as you relate to her, and find yourself that God is still first. When you relate God to the background, then you're already getting into trouble. Praise the Lord. It doesn't mean that your wife should not come near you, your wife should not near your wife anymore. They say, look, you should leave and go to another man. That means I don't have any relations with you. In the night, go and sleep somewhere. I'll sleep somewhere because I want to do the work of God. No, I don't want to distract you anymore. But if there's some time, maybe you want to just have a time. The Bible says it, by mutual consent, agreement. Praise the Lord. And even says, and after that we come together again so the devil doesn't tempt you. Praise the Lord.
We have the incidentally brother Willie and the wife has these teachings in this book, The Marriage Affair. And it's a little bit about the marriage and marriage counseling. So those who would like to have copies to come here and share with our brother. We will continue tomorrow. Please, if you have questions and comments, please, on these issues, you can write them down and drop on this table, or when we come tomorrow, you drop them on the table so that we can tidy up the discussion.
So, I have two questions here because our time is up. We'll carry over to tomorrow and we will answer. I don't know those questions. Based on what we're discussing. We'll take them first, finish up with them, then we can then go on the other one.
The cost of the people.
It's 300, the copy, please. 300 naira. Shall we pray? Let's all run away, please. Father, we thank you. Lord, you are the author of marriage, and you are the finisher of marriage. Lord, we have begun. You will bring us to a successful end. Lord, we are trusting Lord Jesus Christ through your word and through counseling. Lord, you will bring to pass that which is your purpose for our lives. In Jesus.